Honey, I'm home. Vacation has officially started.
We are off to SeaWorld.
Yay!
All right, kids, let's get packing.
Hun, did you call Perfection Auto Works for the free summer trip inspection before we hit the highway?
Oh, honey, I forgot. I'll give them a call right now.
Hey, we're not going anywhere without Perfection Auto Works' free 26-point inspection checking out our car.
How do you avoid jaws on your wall for auto repair? Start with Perfection Auto Works' free 26-point inspection. Then, consider if it's time for brakes, major service, timing belt replacement, or any other scheduled maintenance on your car, truck, or SUV, from an Audi to a Volvo, and all cars in between. Don't leave town without that free vacation inspection. 323-8650. Or check out our cool website at perfectionautoworks.com. 323-8650.
Bluetooth is being used for loss prevention. The big chip shortage will make Apple products harder to get. Zero Trust might be the future breach solution, and the top three ways ransomware slips into your systems. All that and more next on The Computer Doctor Show.
You're listening to The Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Hello, Tucson and my podcast listeners. Welcome to the Computer Doctor Show, your headquarters for scam awareness, blockchain science, and cutting-edge technology talk. This is episode 55. I'm Aaron Moss, your host. Good to have you with us every Saturday. We post new shows and bonus content on computerdoctorshow.com. Again, computerdoctorshow.com, with new episodes every Saturday. Our open lines, 520-790-2040. Feel free to call in anytime with your comments and questions and even complaints. We can answer. Co-hosting today is David from the Cassie Unscrewed Theater.
Thank you so much for having me here again, Aaron.
Great to have you again. You're a wealth of knowledge yourself and funny. You're a funny guy. Thanks for supporting.
I'm funny looking, at least.
Yeah,
so.
That too. Yeah, you have the right face for radio.
Yeah, that's right. I've been told that too.
The Computer Doctor Show is sponsored by Perfection Auto Works for all your car's needs for over 30 years. Go check them out. We have a great show for you today, starting with some tech news that was happening this week. Bluetooth is being used for loss prevention. So companies like Home Depot and Lowe's and other places that have, for example, power tools, you know, they're putting this Bluetooth technology inside of the tools so that when you, if you were to steal the tool out of the store, it won't work, because they have to be activated right there at the cash register. So here's the problem. We were talking about this before the show. Could you imagine? Now, having this extra technology inside of the tool could potentially fail or cause problems.
Right.
And the potential for tool as a service could be a thing, right?
Right.
Let's say that you don't have the $200 to buy the drill, but you could afford $10 a month to use the drill.
Yeah, exactly.
Could you imagine if you don't pay your tool bill?
Yeah, it just shuts off right in the middle of building a house, and yeah, you got to go home for the day at that point.
Or swap your credit card in the tool.
Yeah, slide that through the battery slot there.
And there you go. And then you can start using the tool again. But, you know, that technology is coming. But the reason why this is of concern is because people steal these tools, and then they turn around and resell them at places like pawn shops or dark markets or other markets. Now, this is something that is applied to the tool, not the packaging. So, you know, some of these places, you know, you grab the product, you run out the door with it, and then there's this alarm from the RFID
scanners at the doorway.
Right. But this is different. This is an actual activation of the tool itself. Now, moving forward, it's going to take time for criminals to figure out that the stolen products don't work. And therefore, the idea is that they'll stop stealing it once they realize that it's not worth it. They're just stealing something that's just not going to work.
Right.
But now, the same thing is true that happened with Apple. When Apple and all these smartphones started to up their security, the user, once they know that their phone is stolen, they can actually log into their phone's account and report it stolen, and the phone will completely lock up, and there is almost no way to unlock these phones. So right. much so that a lot of pawn shops and secondhand places, they don't even want to buy them anymore because of the number of cases where they've purchased a phone and then it gets locked later from the real owner.
And then they can't sell it after that. And if the same thing applies with power tools, then they could even use it to identify them, because each Bluetooth transponder in each tool mm-hmm. is a unique identifier that the store can go, hey, that's ours.
Exactly. So that and serial numbers as well when things right. come up on police auction lots and things like that. So like we said, Home Depot, Lowe's, Target, Walgreens, and even Neiman Marcus are looking into this technology. So that is coming soon. Also, the big chip shortage will make Apple products harder to get. Now, this is not just affecting Apple products. This is affecting cars, computers, and smartphones. This right. is affecting just about any piece of electronics that's manufactured. The reason for the chip shortage, there was a big demand for more electronics inside of the house due to COVID. So many people were switched from doing work in an office where they had to commute yeah. to doing work at home. Same thing with children. They had to go from classroom learning to home learning. And the demand for electronics inside of the house with chips, okay, went completely out of control.
And nowadays, to get a graphics card, you have to go to the back alley behind the Walmart in the bad part of town. And hey, there's a guy with a big trench coat with like 50 G-forces over here. And
Well, they don't, you know, used to be the watches. You
right,
know?
Right.
Now it's computer chips.
Now it's graphics cards.
Yeah, exactly. Well, buying an iPhone or iPad will be much harder. So what the CFO of Apple, Luca Maestri, what he announced just on Tuesday was that they are putting together this, you have to advance purchase these iPhones, iPads. So if you want any of that stuff from now to holiday season or whatever, you have to get on some sort of pre-ordered list, and you have to pay ahead of time. Now, not all the features have even been announced about right. these things. So you're basically buying something that you don't even know what it is with. You know, that's loyalty.
That's a tough sale right there.
That is loyalty. When a company just says that they're doing something new and people have already bought it before they even know what it is.
I feel like I've been burned by the video game industry too many times to pre-order stuff anymore.
But satisfaction is guaranteed, I guess.
I hope so. As long as the chip shortage doesn't affect the Dorito availability, I think I'll be okay.
Oh, okay. Well, Doritos as a service.
Yeah, know, there we go. Yeah. If I could swipe my credit card in the bag and it would refill.
Could you imagine your bag of chips disappearing because you didn't pay your chip bill?
Oh, no. The chip shortage.
That's the real chip shortage.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, zero trust. Now, we've talked about zero trust in the past, but we're just going to go into it a little bit with this. Zero trust might be a future breach solution. Breach, of course, is whenever your security of whatever accounts you have, whether it be email, files, cloud, portals, private information about on industry, government agencies are also on this list. So what when it comes to zero trust, services such as Microsoft, IBM, Google, AWS, and Cisco, and others have been throwing around the idea of zero trust. Now, what we were talking about before, David, before the show was this is kind of like a minimalistic type of approach right. where let's say that you have a new person that comes into a company, a new hire.
Yes.
Okay. They have to be issued an email address, an account, right. Access to their portal to do their work. They may need a phone number or issued other types of devices for security, a key to the office, you know, all this stuff is all right. linked together. Now, that person might, when IT people come around, they say, okay, what's your name? Okay, first name dot last name at whatever company.com, yeah. right? So then they ask, what department are you going to be in? You know, that information. Okay, you're going to be in that department. Okay, that department comes with these privileges. Okay. Now, what are you going to be doing in that department? Oh, I'm the assistant to whomever. Okay. So if you're his assistant, I'm going to give you the same privileges as them.
Yeah.
Right. So here's the problem with that. If you don't go through and figure out what each privilege is for and what that person really is for, you might be just be opening up privileges to someone that really doesn't need those privileges.
Right.
The idea of behind a ransomware attack or any type of attack, okay, we were talking before the show, viruses or what have you, if they're trying to cause harm, they don't have to get into the account of, you know, people that are on the board of directors or anything.
Right. Any account is a good account.
Yeah, they just have to get access to somebody that also has the same access of these other ones. So that's why the zero trust model is something that's being considered. The combination of ransomware attacks and working from home makes the zero trust model attractive to system administrators. So if you could imagine a large company where someone is assisting their boss, but they're working from home, not only is all of their security has to be right on, but all the security surrounding their house.
Yeah.
Okay. If somebody breaks into their house, for example, and they are able to get into some of the automatic logins on your computer, bam. And
people love saving those passwords on there. We know that.
Saving those passwords. We're going to talk about that in a moment, too. Only nasty things happen. So make sure that you're keeping up on your zero trust things. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a little commercial break. Up next, we're going to talk about the top three ways ransomware slips into your systems. We can take some of your calls as well. You're listening to the Computer Doctor Show. We'll be right back.
And they're off and running. Pedal to the metal, madness.
My gosh, the drivers in Tucson are insane. I've never seen anything like it.
Oh, look at that, a near collision. Oh, number 21 just missed the lead driver. Oh no, I saw that coming, a pileup on the first lap.
It's insanity, I tell you.
Those cars are out of commission. Look at number 17, there's smoke coming out of the engine.
Look at the flames underneath that vehicle.
Well, he knows what to do. He's pulling into Perfection Auto Works pit stop. Look at those mechanics go like ants on honey.
This is incredible. Look, he's getting back in the race.
What was that, 7.6 seconds? That's perfection.
When you're involved in the fast-paced race of life and you know you're in need of a pit stop, pull into Perfection Auto Works. Our expert crew and free 26-point inspection will get you back on the road fast and furiously. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Ugly Goose Car Rental is new in Tucson, providing a low-cost auto rental alternative for just $100 per week. The only catch? The cars are ugly, but very safe and reliable to get you to work, school, shopping, and all your important appointments. To reserve your $100 a week car rental, call Ugly Goose Car Rental at 520-261-0439. Again, 520-261-0439.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson, because technology is great when it works.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show, your source for scam awareness, blockchain science, and cutting-edge technology talk. I'm Aaron Moss, your host, along with David, co-hosting today. I want to thank the Tri-Lambda Networking Group. I was inducted Wednesday, I was inducted to their group. Thank you very much. And always enjoy the meetups with the tech giants of Tucson. It's voting time for the Reader's Choice Award. Also, the Computer Doctor of Tucson has been nominated for the Best IT Service for the Arizona Daily Star. So do a simple Google search for Tucson Reader's Choice Awards. And we are under the business category. And I'll mention again at the end of the show. And I think also the Unscrewed Theater is up for, has been nominated as well.
Almost always get nominated for entertainment. So please come vote for us. And for Tucson's Best Comedian, we have three of our various house team members, Chris Seidman, Matt Beaudry, and Elena Erickson, are all being nominated. So yeah, vote for any of those three are good.
Okay.
Although they're all fantastic comedians.
Super.
I know.
Why don't you tell us more about the Unscrewed Theater, David?
Yes. So we're tonight at 7:30 is the very last of our live stream only shows. It's going to be our Not Burned Out, Just Unscrewed, our house team, and Comic Chaos, our more kid-friendly comic book house team, which I am a part of, and I'm even wearing the T-shirt right now.
Comic Chaos.
Comic
shirt.
Chaos. Okay. Yeah, looks really good on the radio.
Okay.
So that's our last live stream show tonight, because next weekend we are opening up for live audiences in the theater.
All right.
I'm excited, and I do believe one of our shows is going to have a very special guest.
I will be the special guest coming up, and I hope I get to be a superhero or something.
We can make that happen.
Something cool.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Please go to unscrewedtheater.org and check that out for all the information you need.
All right. Super, super. Thank you, David. Here are some tech anniversaries and science anniversaries that were happening this week. On July 27th, 1949, the world's first jet propeller airliner made its test flight in England. It was the British de Havilland Comet, it was called. It made its maiden test flight in England 72 years ago, and it ended up being a commercial jet. It was one of the first commercial jets to first take its flight on there. 72 years ago. How about that?
Fantastic.
Also, in space, in July 29th, 1958, NASA was established by U.S. Congress.
Oh, wow.
NASA, of course, stands for National Aeronautics and Space Administration, established by U.S. Congress 62 years today. Again, that was just 2 days ago on July 29th, 1958, 62 years ago. So, happy anniversary to NASA. On this next part, I want to talk a little bit more about ransomware. So there was a very interesting article posted online. I'm going to give credit to ZDNet.com. Again, ZDNet.com. There were two reporters on there. This also came with a video. It mentioned how the Colonial Pipeline has taught us that something needs to be done with all these systems. Now,
right.
There's a lot of agencies, and we're not just talking about the United States. We're talking about government agencies all around the world, okay? Talking about water pumps and gas pumps, okay? Security systems, okay?
Right.
Internet things. So previously it was thought that all of these agencies were not a target, but they found out.
Oh, absolutely. If you can crack into computers and cause actual physical damage, that's a very dangerous weapon for bad people.
Yes, it is. And so what's happening is it's an international concern. Organizations are taking notice. A lot of things that people don't take into account is when someone gets infected with ransomware, for example. They now have four problems that they have to deal with, okay? The first one is whether to pay the ransom. And there's a whole lot of discussion about whether you can pay it, whether you're not. There are some jurisdictions that are saying that it is now illegal to pay ransom.
Oh, wow.
That kind of takes that away. So even if you wanted to pay it, you know, you would be breaking the law, but you still have this big problem.
Right, you know, but at the same time, if it's a hospital or something like that that's critical and people will die if you don't get it unlocked right away, what do you do?
Exactly. So that brings us to the second one of fixing the problem. So just because you pay the ransom doesn't mean that all your problems are going to be restored. That happened with the Colonial Pipeline. Now, of course, we know the Colonial Pipeline, they did pay the ransom,
yes.
But the the way that the files were restored, they were restored in such a way that they were still not 100% useful.
You have to put them all back kind of where they belonged and all of the,
yes.
And there were, and then of course there's still risk, because the other fun thing is if you're publicly known that you're infected with ransomware, you get a big old target planted on your business for the next guy who comes along.
That brings us into another thing, the reputation.
Yeah.
So you have the reputation, okay, and then there's also the future attack that you can, because what has been happening that has not been reported as much is that once one entity has been affected by ransomware, they can, the foundation is already laid in their system. So okay. even if they decrypt and unlock the files, okay, the foundation of them being hacked again is already there.
Right. And okay. Even the original hackers could leave a back door to come back in and do it again later.
Exactly. So, and many times, I think I read someplace that it was maybe about 60% of people that have been infected with ransomware end up getting infected again or getting detonated again, right. Within 6 months.
Wow, okay. That is an impressive
amount. So just because you're out of the water once, you can get thrown, pulled right back into the water again. So those four things, the decision to pay the ransom, of course, the cost of paying the ransom, fixing your system, suffering the reputation as a result, and also the threat of being attacked in the future. Okay. Now, here are some preventative measures. And this, by the way, this is nothing new.
Right.
Nothing new is about this, okay? And we're gonna list them off one at a time. So we're gonna talk about these three items. The first thing is two-factor authentication on all of your accounts. So those of you that may not know, two-factor authentication or multi-factor authentication,
right.
is just a fancy way of saying more than just one key. Okay. The best way that I can describe a two-factor authentication, instead of having one lock on the door, you have two locks on the door. So even if somebody steals one key, they still can't get in the door without the second key. But if you keep both the keys on the same ring, if yeah. they get the ring, now they have the keys to both locks and they can still open the door.
Yeah, that's a good metaphor.
But let's say that there is also a dog inside the house.
Right. Okay.
That could be like your real...
Internal security there.
Now, your dog is kind of like your facial recognition. And
right.
your smell recognition.
There you go.
If that's even possible.
I don't see why not. Olfactory.
If somebody looked exactly like you but smelled different, would the dog still bark at you? That's
a good question.
Or attack you.
And we're going to have to clearly get some dogs, some identical twins, and a lot of different clones.
If you have
to do
a dog and you have a comment, please call us. But if you have a dog in the house, the dog is going to recognize you as you. Even
right.
the dog doesn't care if you have the keys. You can't show, no, it's me. Look, I have
right.
the keys. The dog don't care.
Dog knows the difference.
It knows if you're you or you, and it's going to bark you out, right? So that's an example of a two-factor authentication. So two-factor authentication just basically means that you have a password and something else.
Yeah.
It can be your phone. It can be a phone call. It can be some sort of email verification that you have to tap. You know, to
could be your location, could be biometric. I've heard mm-hmm. I've heard all the techniques described as something you know, something you are, something you have, or
exactly.
Somewhere you are. Yeah,
that's exactly what I was about to say. Thank you. I appreciate you being on the show, by the way.
Thank you.
So that's multi-factor authentication. So make sure that you have that. Don't use the same password on multiple accounts. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Now, you may have a very difficult password on one account, but in order to get into that, to get to that door that has that difficult password, may require you to enter in another door that has a very easy password.
Right.
Okay. So, for example, a lot of people don't secure their routers with their admin panel.
Right.
I can't tell you how many buildings and companies I've been into where I can just get right into their email or right into their router using the word using just the plain password.
Whatever the default password you just Googled was, yep.
Exactly. All right. And also, the last one is making sure that you're downloading the latest security patches in a timely manner, because so many of these vulnerabilities are based on things that have not, based on old vulnerabilities that just haven't. I see Mark has called in, but we don't have time. We do have to get rolling. We do have to get rolling towards the end. But thank you so much, David, for being with us today.
Thank you.
And don't forget to vote on your favorite companies on Reader's Choice Awards. My name is Aaron Moss, your host and technology expert. Co-hosting today, David, thank you again. Tom Fairbanks is at the control board. Listen to The Computer Doctor Show every week with new episodes every Saturday. We hope you are safe. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll see you again next week. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Computer Doctor Show. If you missed any part of this live broadcast, we post all our episodes online at computerdoctorshow.com. Remember, the world is getting more and more tech, and so should you. To stay current with technology, listen to The Computer Doctor Show each week for local and global tech insights. If you have suggestions for a topic on a future show, send us an email at info@computerdoctorshow.com.